When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy David with Black Wealth Renaissance, and I'm here today to tell you guys about Anchor. If you haven't heard of Anchor, it's the best place to make a podcast. Anchor is a free app that has creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone. Anchor also distributes your podcast across all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. You can also make money on your podcast with Anchor with no minimum listenership. Anchor is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you're looking to get started on your own podcast, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm.
Are you looking to sell or buy your home, or looking for an investment property? Look no further. BlackWealthRenaissance.com offers a free realtor directory with realtors located across the country to help you meet your goals. Just go to BlackWealthRenaissance.com and select realtor directory under resources. That's BlackWealthRenaissance.com and select realtor directory under resources.
Thank you for listening to the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. Our goal of this podcast is to normalize Black wealth and share helpful resources and tips we believe will be useful in attaining and maintaining generational wealth. Please feel free to rate, review, and comment on our podcast. We would love to hear feedback from you guys. Now, let's get into the show.
On this episode of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast, we talk to Mr. Wes Efon, a financial advisor from Flemington, New Jersey. A graduate of Rutgers University with a bachelor's degree in biological science, Wes also obtained his MBA in business strategy from the university's business school. He began his career as a relationship banker for J.P. Morgan Chase and left the firm after 7 years to join New York Life Insurance as a financial services professional. During his tenure with New York Life, he was recognized by the firm for the value he provided to his clients and was acknowledged as one of the top professionals by the company. In 2018, Wes departed from New York Life and joined Allied Wealth Partners team based out of the firm's Martinsville, New Jersey office. Wes's approach with his clients is to provide them with structured and effective guidance, which will help lead them on the path to financial freedom. By helping them make informed and strategic financial decisions, he works hard to ensure that their financial goals and objectives will be met. Wes is just an all-around genuine brother who offers a lot of game that our culture needs to continue pushing forward. He drops a lot of helpful advice and knowledge that can be applied on your journey to financial prosperity on this episode. Now, without further ado, let's get to the show. Welcome, everybody, to episode 17 of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. Your boy, David Bellard, one of the co-hosts of the podcast, checking in.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing, man? It's Jalen checking in on the podcast. How y'all doing today?
What's up, everybody? It's Kelly Rose checking in. Hey, man.
What's good? It's Jared checking in.
Today we have with us our guest, man, Smooth Brother Financial Advisor from Flemington, New Jersey, by the name of Wes Efon. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Thank you for coming on the show, bro.
Hey man, I'm glad to be here, man. Just trying to collect and you know, just collaborate with some good brothers, man. Y'all doing some great work, man, with this podcast.
We appreciate you, bro. We really do. Like, this is the goal. We just trying to spread the knowledge, spread the wealth, man. Cause it's all go back to that abundance type of thinking. That's the mission of Black Wealth Renaissance. We want us to think in abundance.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely trying to just spread that knowledge and just teach anybody we can.
That's what it's all about, man. When you have the knowledge, it's not just for us to just hoard for ourselves, man. You got to give it out. And that's a good energy to have, man. So, you know, kudos to y'all, man. Y'all doing, like I said, a great job. I've listened to, you know, several of the episodes, man. Y'all got some, putting out some good work, man.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, man. So, yeah, the way we normally kick this off, we're just going to let you introduce yourself to the audience. Just tell them a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, you know, how you got started, what made you choose your current career field.
Okay, so the way I got started, right out of college, I worked for a company, a financial planning company, but I think I wasn't ready for this kind of a career to be an entrepreneur. So I left and went into banking. And so I did banking for several years, and I got a lot of knowledge. I learned a lot. And then I started to figure out what it was that I really wanted to do. And, you know, really what ended up happening was I sort of outgrew being in the employee kind of mindset. And I needed to go and become an entrepreneur. And so it gave me the chance to do things that I could work with people one-on-one, really take my time to help people specifically with their needs and their concerns. And so, I left banking and went into being an entrepreneur and haven't looked back since.
So question, what gave you that, you know, that initial nudge to go get started? Because I know, you know, listening to other podcasts and stuff like that, a lot of people don't like to leave that steady flowing check, you know, that I know every 2 weeks I'm getting paid, I'm gonna have enough to cover my bills. What made you take that nudge to go take that risk?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. For me, the thing was, I knew leaving that check was going to be uncomfortable. And especially when I had the conversation with my wife, it was like, look, this is what I'm thinking. This is kind of the vision I have. And, you know, it was like looking at me crazy, like, what you going to do? What? You going to leave this job? You're getting a salary? Like, we got bills. And so, but what prompted me was I already had a plan. And I think based on the plan that I had written out, the vision I had for it, it helped me to feel comfortable to be able to make that leap, you know, because like you said, it's not, I mean, leaving a steady income is challenging, but I felt like I believed enough in the vision to be able to do it.
Okay. I love that you said that, man.
Yeah, man. And I know you said at the beginning, you felt like you weren't ready. Why you kind of felt like you weren't ready at that point in time?
Yeah, so out of college, I don't think I was ready because honestly, I didn't even know where I was going, like what I wanted to do. You know, you graduate from college and you get a degree and, you know, you still living at home because I was living at home for a couple of years after college, like, you know, many of my friends did. And so I just didn't know what I wanted to do yet. So I jumped into something that was, you have your own autonomy. You're in control of your own time. And I didn't even have a handle on how to take care of a bill. So I was like, well, I had no business trying to run a business if I didn't even understand how to take care of my own car note, take care of my own car insurance, pay my own cell phone bill. So I figured I needed to get a steady job and learn how to budget, understand how to take care of myself before I could, you know, branch out and start doing and taking care of a business. So that's why I didn't feel ready.
And I love that. I love that. That was powerful right there.
I like that. I do want to touch on something because I did read earlier that your degree is in biology and my degree is in biology. So I feel like there's a similarity in that right there because you got a biology degree and I feel like maybe it's because the same reason that I got one was that like, oh man, I'm not sure exactly what I want to do, but I could maybe be a doctor or something if I get this biology degree. So I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. So my background is my family's originally from Nigeria. So when you're Nigerian, there's only three careers really that matter in a Nigerian household. It's a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer. And growing up, you know, it was like, yeah, you know, that's all you're going through. You got to be a doctor. You got to be a doctor. And so going into college, I just assumed, let me get this biology degree because everybody wants me to be a doctor. Until I figured out that I didn't want to be a doctor. So, but I had this degree, so I had to figure out what I wanted to do. So, yeah, that's why I got the biology degree. It was just because I was told I was supposed to be a doctor.
And how did your family react to you leaving that biology field, trying to get into this business field?
Ooh, man. yeah, no, they weren't happy, man. They were a little upset. Because, you know, you got to look at it from the standpoint, they spent all this money putting you through school thinking that you're going to go and do this one thing, and then to find out that you're not going to actually go do it. So they weren't happy at first. But, you know, after they got over the shock of me saying I wasn't going to go to med school, they just said, look, you got to figure out what you're going to do. And you got to figure out what you're passionate about, what you're going to enjoy doing, and you got to go and work hard at it. So, yeah, man, it was a tough conversation at first. Eventually we got over it. So
when something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Man, I like so much out of what you just said, like with the whole thing, just like, you basically, you know, you went in there, you were just like, I'm gonna do this because this is what my parents want me to do. And then you experienced a pushback because you actually wanted to go do something that you were interested in. And then you also just still kept pushing to go do what you were interested in. And also you had, you know, once you did get that set career as far as getting a set check and you learned how to budget, you put the work in for the preparation. And then by the time you were ready to leave, you had a plan, you know, and you were already prepared for it. And I think that's just so cool because it's like a lot of people want to hop straight into things and hop straight into their passion, but they don't want to get ready. They don't want to put the work into the preparation.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll just add that one of the things I thought about was if I'm going to become an advisor and be independent, I should write a business plan as if I'm opening up a storefront. Ooh. You know, so I sat and wrote a business plan, and I had one of my mentors look at the business plan and just give me some feedback. Cause I was like, even though I was going to go to an organization that was already structured for me to just slide right in and start a business, I said, I should still write a business plan because, you know, ultimately you're still working for yourself and you got to have some kind of a strategy.
And I like how you said you did the storefront idea, though, because that also kind of put yourself in like what your clients would be doing. So you could kind of see from their eyes how you can help them. So that's pretty cool, man. And that's pretty smart.
Hey, man, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I'll credit my dad for that. He always told me that preparation is actually the key to success. And, you know, I know even God rest his soul, you know, he probably looking down, he's like, man, you know, I'm proud of my son for doing what he's doing. So hopefully that's how he's feeling, you know, but it was definitely something that was ingrained in me from a young age. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. And I like how you prepare though, but you also take action because you got a lot of people, they'll sit and they're prepared for their whole life. But by the time they look up, all that preparation, they took no action. So they're still in the same spot that they started in.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, taking action is something that even in my current field, I'm trying to help people do, you know, because you can imagine people will come to me with all these goals they want to achieve financially. And I tell them, I can come up with a financial plan for you. But if we don't move on it, if we don't take action, then you're not going to get there. So, you know, you're absolutely 110% correct, man. Action is extremely important. After you prepare, you got to take action.
I'm glad you mentioned your career too, Wes, because that's something we wanted to get into with you. So what made you decide to be a financial advisor? And just before even that, could you explain to some of our people what a financial advisor is and what do they do?
Okay. So a financial advisor is somebody who is obligated. They're responsible for sitting down with people and understanding their financial goals, giving them an analysis of where they are right now in relationship to their goals, and then helping them to develop a plan to get to where they want to be. And so I think a financial advisor in a lot of ways is a coach and a motivator. And they do have to have an understanding of what's going on in the markets and how it can affect what's going on with your own investments. And you got to understand insurance and how that works and plays into your financial plan. And, you know, so it's a couple of different things, but, you know, like I said, it's just to summarize, it's really just the person that's a coach helping people to understand, you know, what they got to do to be able to achieve their financial goals.
Okay. So, and what made you like want to go into that? Like, once you're like, okay, biology isn't my thing, how did you figure out, okay, I want to do financial advising?
Okay. Well, I mean, for me, it was, I took a class in college called Money and Banking. Okay. And when I took that class, I was so intrigued by what was going on in terms of how money works. And, you know, when you realize that money kind of runs the world, and you understand that if you don't understand how money works and what your relationship to money is, you know, you could do any career. But if you don't understand that money piece, you know, you're setting yourself up for failure. So I got introduced to the idea of money and banking in college. And then what got me to say I want to be a financial advisor, it was kind of a roundabout way. So when I went on the interview and went to go to this financial advisory firm right out of college, it was a guy that recruited me at a job fair. And he was telling me, like, oh, you want to help people? Yeah. Oh, do you like money? Do you enjoy, like, just talking about money? Yeah, of course. So I got introduced to the financial advisor career from the guy who recruited me. I didn't even know that was a career. I just assumed that, like, if I like money and banking, I should go work at a bank. But he was the one who really introduced me to the idea of financial advisor as a career.
Oh, that's pretty dope, man. And then, so I know, like, especially within our community, a lot of people be like, man, I don't need anybody telling me how to manage my money. I got this. But we really don't understand money to
as a whole, as a community. Like, we don't have these conversations.
So, like, why would you say financial advising is important, and how do you get people to see this? You need this type of coach, because you said it's a coach, and even great players like LeBron James, they still need coaches to help them win and succeed. So how do you, like, get people to see, yeah, you need a financial advisor?
Yeah, I mean, so in our community, it's tough because we don't, and I'm trying to remember, I think one of your previous guests talked about it, that she said that we don't have these conversations around the kitchen table. You know, we get there during the holidays and we talk about everything else except for money and health. You know, like, we don't discuss any of those things. Like, don't talk about money. Don't talk about health. Don't talk about funeral. You know, because we talk about health, I might die. You know, like, or, you know, they don't want people in their business. And so we don't talk about it amongst ourselves. And I feel like because we don't talk about it amongst ourselves, that means we probably are in a situation where we need the coaching the most. And so, you know, I try to convince people that if you don't plan, then what you're essentially saying is that you are planning to fail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to take seriously the idea that if you don't work with a coach and have somebody that is knowledgeable in that area to give you all the insight, because that's really what it is. I mean, most people who are wealthy and successful in terms of building their own net worth, they have advisors and people who help them to know the ins and outs. And so we can't, like, push that away and act as if it's not something that we should also use to our advantage, especially if you got people that look like you that's doing the career. I mean, I feel like if anything, you should probably gravitate to that and say, all right, well, this brother or this sister knows my circumstances. They understand my own constraints and the things that we deal with every day. And so maybe I should give them a chance to help me to do better for myself. And so that's really all it is. I just try to share with them that, you know, the most successful people they have a coach, and you know, we should do the same thing.
I got a question about that. So I know you mentioned earlier that you had a mentor as well. Mm-hmm. So how did that process for you go as far as trying to find a mentor? Because like, I know just using us for examples, we were in Louisiana. I know Kelly's from Texas, but he was in Louisiana with us. Yeah. And all of us kind of got introduced to this idea of financial freedom and financial literacy around the same time. But then it was kind of hard. We were in rural Louisiana, just to let y'all know. It was
kind of hard to find most somebody. Of Louisiana rural.
Yeah. But yeah, so with that being said, it was kind of hard to find somebody in the space. So how did that process look for you as trying to find a mentor and find somebody that you could genuinely work with that would teach you?
You know, I'll be honest, I was lucky because I was introduced to this person through my pastor. So that was really how I got introduced to the person as a mentor. You know, I do think that we definitely need to promote a culture of mentorship in the Black community because there are a lot of us who are successful. I get frustrated with the narratives that we see on TV because it's like, you know, not everybody's out there doing wrong. Like most of us are doing really great things, you know, in different careers, whether it's in the financial field or, you know, you got people in you know, the law field or in the health services and things like that. You got a lot of people doing very well in those careers, and we should just foster a culture of mentorship. I mean, if we think about it, that's really what our community was built on in the beginning. I mean, because all we had was us, so we had to support one another and help each other. And so I think hopefully what's happening now is that we're starting to bring it full circle, and we're starting to see more people do that whole mentorship thing. But that's how I got linked up with my mentor. I was just lucky that my pastor made that introduction, and the brother was willing to be a mentor and to be like, hey, listen, you got my number. If you ever have any questions, give me a call. If you need me to help you out with anything, let me know. And I think it's his willingness combined with my pastor's willingness to make the introduction that got me that, you know, got me into that that space. So
I do kind of want to go back to like the financial advising part. I know a lot of people, they hear a financial advisor and they think, oh, I need to have all this kind of money for somebody to even hire somebody or even to partner with somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. What are some like affordable ways to try to get in a financial advisor? Or is it even affordable for most people?
That is a great question. Part of why I went independent is because I wanted to create the platforms to allow those who wanted to work with a financial advisor to be able to. And so what I've done is I've made sure that I have subscription model, you know, where, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, I got to have thousands of dollars. Nah, man, like we could do something on a monthly basis where every month you're just paying to have access to me. And, you know, other times I might even, if the person is really strapped and they're like, well, I can't do it. Sometimes I'll even just help them out and point them in the right direction. So I feel like, you know, even if that person can't do anything with me right now, if I at least help them establish a foundation, then that person will be willing to come back to me later on and be like, you know what, you helped me out to be able to get on the right path. So now I'm in a position to work with you. So, you know, I'm ready to do this. And so I try to make sure that I give people options, and you don't have to have, I mean, I tell people like all the time, I don't have minimums. There's a lot of companies that tell you, you got to have at least X amount to be able to invest with us. And I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that to anybody. I'm not turning anybody away because I feel like it's important for us to have somebody that's going to be willing to take that extra step and say, you know what, let me work with you and let me get you on the right path. And, you know, we're going to take this journey together. You're going to become successful. You're going to become wealthy. I'm going to help you get there, you know? And so that's the thing.
My next question, man, bro.
Wiz, I do want to touch on something though, because I don't want to gloss over this.
Yeah.
You said you're willing to work with people who, even though they aren't in a position to work with you at the time, now you're willing to help them out so that maybe, just even in the future, even if it doesn't happen, that they understand that you're a person that helped them. And that's something that we preach over here religiously. It's like you have to provide value first. Like, even if it doesn't come back to you, you always want to be providing value. And I love that you do that. You offer that option to our people because that's something that we need to see more of as a community.
Absolutely, man. Because for me, it's like I wasn't given this knowledge and this this access just for me, like I said, to just hoard it for myself. There has to be a much bigger like vision or a bigger like purpose for it. And so, you know, I like I tell people all the time, I don't always try to be deep, you know, like and try to get all extra spiritual. But the reality is like we're not here just for ourselves. We're here for others. And so I do feel like it's an important, you know, thing for me to do is even if the person's not in that position, let me do the right thing. And, you know, even if it's not them, I've had situations where I've helped somebody out and they weren't able to become a client, but they referred me to somebody who had like tons of cash. And you're like, wow, I didn't even know you knew this person. But yeah. Here I am getting introduced to somebody that's a business owner, successful. And I'm like, it came from the person I helped that didn't do any, that didn't give me anything. And so I think that there's a lot of value in that. It always comes back in some form. And so I try to live by that principle.
And that's that abundance mindset. Just whenever you give, whenever you give, it's going to come back. So don't just go out looking for a reward. Like you said, like sometimes your blessings just come back on you just for being that good person, just giving out your heart. So I do love how you got those examples and how you do that for the community. So I commend you on that.
Hey, man, appreciate it.
And I think that's cool too, because I think a lot of people sleep on that that added value or that return, that ROI that comes from just helping people. You know, like if you help people, you'll never know who you might inspire to help other people who might come back to you. Like I know, for example, we had him on the podcast, Andre Hatchett, and I've up until the podcast had never personally spoken with the man. Still, I've been broke, so I haven't been able to buy as many of his products as I want. But with all that being said, the other day, I have a friend of mine who I know is going to be proposing soon. And so I sent him his marriage book. And, you know, he didn't ask me to do that or anything like that. But it's like by you providing free value for other people, sometimes they'll refer you to other folks and you don't even know it, you know, just because of the fact that you were very helpful with them. So I think that's really cool. And a lot of people sleep on that.
Yeah, man. Hey, shout out to Brother Dre, man. That's my dude, man. Episode, what it is, 10?
Yeah.
Y'all go check that out, man.
But also, I wanted to ask you as far as like financial advising, kind of going back and touching on that one, at least for me one more time, how would somebody who's like interested, they've kind of heard how you explained it, how would they like try to, how would you suggest that they get into it, you know?
Well, what I would say is the first step is to, sit down and actually have an initial conversation. I always tell folks that what we do is we do an initial complimentary meeting. So that first meeting, there's no obligation, no cost for it. And what I do is I share with them kind of my process, how I help folks. And then I ask them some questions around their own personal financial situation. And so that is usually the first step. Let's talk, let's figure out what you're trying to accomplish, and let's even see if it's a match. Because there are times where folks are, you know, what they're trying to do, it may not be something that I'm able to help them with. And so trying to get that clarity, understand what they're trying to do, that's the first step. And so I tell folks, you know, whether it's on social media, whether it's over the phone, at events out in the community, I just tell them, let's just have that first meeting. You know, you'll be able to know whether or not it makes sense to work with me. And I'll also know whether or not it makes sense to work with you as a client. But we won't know unless we have that initial conversation. And so I just say, let's take that first, like you said, take action, right? Let's take that first action step. Let's sit down and let's have a conversation and figure it out. And then usually from there, we can talk about the next steps. It's like, all right, if we decide this is a good fit, then it's like, all right, well, here's what we need to do. I need you to get all of this information. And I give people a list. So I give them homework. I'm like, listen, you're going to have to get all these statements together and all this stuff. We're going to bring it to the next meeting, and we're going to really take a deep dive into your situation. But that's usually what I advise people to do.
I think that's huge, man. Like, I definitely going to be one of my questions was like, are you like with financial advising, like do you teach people how to do it? And for you to give people homework, allow them to kind of learn the process itself, I think that's great for these people, because like it would be easy for me to just say, hey, I got $500,000 in cash, I want you to just deal with it. I don't want to look at it, but for me to like be able to learn what I can, like, let's say I just have, let's just say I have like $5,000 and I want to just figure out how can I invest and make it into 10, you know, and yeah. be able to learn those processes.
Yeah. I mean, my wife thinks that maybe in my next life, I'm going to be a teacher, because a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm spending a good amount of time in our meetings teaching people different principles. So I posted on Instagram the other day the difference between temporary and permanent life insurance. Because for me, like, I can't take it for granted that people just know this stuff. You sometimes you got to teach people so that they understand, like, all right, this is why I'm bringing it up. It's because, look, there's a difference between these two things, and they serve different purposes. So so you're absolutely right, Kelly. I try to make sure that I teach people the concepts so that they understand why we're doing what we're doing, because it don't make sense for me to just shove this thing, you know, like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then just like pressure them into doing it. Like, I want you to understand why, you know, it's got to make sense before somebody's going to do it, you know.
I like it. I kind of want to shift gears. I kind of want to role play just to put out myself and like the listeners in like a scenario. So say if I were just like a client coming up to you, I work a minimum wage job, just living paycheck to paycheck, as such as the 3/4 of America that are doing it. So right. If I was just coming to you, how would you give me my advice to get started on, like, I want to become a homeowner in the long run, or and I want to get my credit right in the long run. So how would you just advise me and steer me into that direction to obtain those goals?
Okay. So I'd be like, well Jalen, the first thing that we want to do is we got to get a handle on this budget, because to your point, you know, 3/4 of America are living paycheck to paycheck. And in order to break that cycle, we have to get a strong handle on your budget. And once we understand what's going on the budget, because that's, you know, I think of the budget as blood pressure, you know. A lot of times when people have health issues and they have underlying issues, it starts with the blood pressure. And so if you see that the blood pressure is not right, then it kind of manifests itself in other areas health-wise. So it's the same thing with the budget.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
If we don't take care of the budget, it's going to manifest itself in other things. You're going to start putting stuff on credit cards, right? You're going to start, you know, you're not going to have enough money saved for retirement. You may not be able to pay for your kids' education. So, but the budget is really the beginning, the starting point. And so let's sit down and really work on your budget first. Let's get a handle on that. And once we get a handle on that, then there's going to be other things. It's going to free us up to be able to do other things. We're going to be able to save better for retirement, do other things, reduce your debt, you know, all of that. So let that be our first step. Let's start there.
Okay, I like that, man, because a lot of people overlook budgeting so heavily.
There's the step they want to skip, honestly.
Yeah.
I see it as like, say you cut your arm, like that's the number one thing, right? So you want to stop the bleeding. I see as budgeting stopping the bleeding first. We can assess the damage after I stop the bleeding.
I'm glad you made that analogy, because that's exactly like, I work on an ambulance. Like that's exactly how I'm out. Oh, they bleeding? stop the bleeding. Then we can worry about everything else.
Exactly.
So yeah. That's a great analogy, Kelly. You did that.
I was going to say, you want to come work with us?
Hey, so that's a message to the followers too. If you hearing any of these symptoms and they sound like you, stop the bleeding.
Yeah. And I like how you say you want to come work. So what if you do have somebody that's like knowledgeable in finance and areas like that, and they say, okay, I do want to help people. What's the steps to becoming a financial advisor? What do I have to do? Because a lot of people, they probably just think, oh, I could just say I'm a financial advisor and start helping people.
I'm gonna just DM Wes and ask him, can I work with him?
Yeah, I tell people, you know, it's like one of them things where you don't want anybody performing a surgery on you if they haven't gone to med school, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm like, you know, a lot of guys out there, I don't want them to do any financial malpractice, you know. So there are some steps, and it's nothing crazy. I always tell people that if you want to do this career, there are a couple of things you have to do. The first thing is you want to find a company that will sponsor you to take the exams that you need to take to get certified. And so if it's whatever organization it is, whatever financial institution, and there's plenty of them out there that will sponsor you to be able to take the exams. You have to take at a minimum your Series 7, your Series 66, and then you have to take your life and health insurance exam for your state where you're going to be registered in. And so those are the exams you have to take to be able to become an advisor. And then really, it's just learning the business. You know, if you have a heart to serve and to help people, that's usually 90% of it. The other 10% is the knowledge. And I think any company that you go to, all of them have their own platforms and their own way of doing things. But all of them will teach you more or less some kind of a business model of how to approach it and to build a business. So,
question: have you ever heard of a company called Primerica?
Yes, I have. I have heard of them.
I think I've heard, or from the people that I know that are in there, I think they kind of did the same thing. Like they sponsored them to take the test, the Series 66 and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of friends who work there, and actually one of them I recruited over to Allied Wealth Partners to give him, you know, some more. He was also looking for more flexibility to do more and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's plenty of organizations out there that will sponsor you to take those exams. So, you know, it's just finding the one that fits and then going for it. That's it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So we kind of jump back to the other example. We know, stop the bleeding. You know, I'm working on my budget. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of disposable income. What's some of the things that you suggest for your clients to invest in or to start purchasing as far as assets, if anything?
Well, I always say that we want to start with the basics first. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you gotta crawl before you walk. You gotta walk before you run. And so I always tell folks that the first thing is, let's look at mutual funds, because, you know, mutual funds is a way to get in. It's kind of like dipping your toe into the water before you jump in. You know, a lot of times people want to jump right into individual stocks. And I'm like, well, yeah, you could do that, but you want to understand this investing thing before you take that next step. So I always tell folks that you would do that first and jump into that initially. And then, you know, of course, over time, as you get more comfortable with it, as you become more well-versed, we diversify, you know, and so, you know, once you've stopped the bleeding and you've got the handle on the budget, we want to immediately start to make sure that our money can work for us and start to grow, and you can take advantage of like market upswings and things like that.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned mutual funds, Wes, because I did want to ask you about the micro investing trend that's going on right now. So yeah. With apps like Acorns and Stash App, I'm a firm believer in the Stash App. I love it.
Yeah.
How do you, as a financial advisor, feel about those types of trends and things like that?
Well, I have younger clients that are in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, And a lot of them love to use Acorn or Stash or any of those micro-investing apps. I don't have anything against them. And I tell people all the time, like, if you want to use that and leverage me as your coach, that's fine. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. What I do tell folks is that when you do that micro investing, you got to keep in mind that you're not always purchasing a full share of whatever company you're buying, because they specialize in small dollar amounts. So if you're putting $10 every week into it, then you might only be buying like a quarter of a share. And so while in the long term, it'll help you to build up a portfolio, it doesn't diversify your risk. So, so that's the thing. You wanna balance between micro investing and also diversifying your investments. And so that's the reason why I always bring up mutual funds, because I know that mutual funds are really the only way to invest in multiple companies all at the same time and to spread out your risk. And so even if you buy a quarter of a share of Netflix, if Netflix go down, that quarter of a share is going to be worth less. And so, you know, those are the types of things that I want to help guard people against. It's not to not do it. Do it. Absolutely. But you want to make sure there's balance, you know, at all times.
All right. So I have another question with mutual funds. Is there a difference between mutual funds and ETFs?
Yes, there is a difference. Yeah, because mutual funds, those are, what's the simplest way to describe it? So mutual funds are, you're diversifying across different companies. ETFs are exchange traded funds, and what they do is they trade like a stock. So a mutual fund, when you buy it, you're buying it as of the closing purchase price at the end of the trading day. Mm-hmm. With ETFs, you can buy it all throughout the day because there's a lot more cash transactions going on in the ETF than there is in mutual funds. And so you can buy that ETF. If it's trading at $10 a share right now, you could buy it right now at $10 a share. Whereas with a mutual fund, you have to wait until the closing of the business day to actually see what you bought it at. And so that's the difference. People ask, is one better than the other? I mean, you know, it's just how you want to trade. That's all.
Yeah, just your preference.
Honestly. Yeah, what's your preference? That's all. It really, there's not much of a difference outside of that. It's just the activity of the respective, you know, mutual fund versus ETF.
Okay. And since we're talking about this type of stuff, I want to ask you a little bit about your take on cryptos also, because like they started off making a rally, but now you see a lot of big companies starting to buy in to their strategies. Like you see Facebook and you see
Chase
JP and Morgan. You see MasterCard starting to actually start looking into and investing into these cryptos.
Didn't over the past week crypto went up like 5K?
Yeah.
From like 8K to 13.
Yeah, I think Bitcoin did end up falling by Friday.
Yeah, it fell down significantly by Friday.
Yeah, but it's just the fact that other people are starting to look into it. So what's your take on like crypto, and if you do know a lot about it, like how can people kind of like get into it?
Okay. Well, my disclosure is I'm not as well versed in crypto. Mm-hmm. I do some research on it just because I know that people do ask questions. And so one of the things I would share is that I knew once Bitcoin and some of these other cryptocurrencies came out, I knew that it was going to be a matter of time before these larger organizations got involved. And the minute that they get involved, the market value of it was going to come down. So I said, you know, look, if I told people that some of the folks that asked me maybe 2-3 months ago, I said, if you didn't get in at the beginning, at this point, it's too late. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it, or, you know, I'm not advising for or against it. But, you know, to see the kind of gains that people were getting in the beginning, you're not going to really see that again. And so anytime there's something new, I always say that if you believe in it, you should jump in at the ground floor, because once everybody kind of gets involved, then it dilutes it. You know, it's kind of like if you have a concentrated juice, mm-hmm. right? You have a concentrated juice. You drink that juice, it's going to be real sweet. The minute you start adding stuff, water, and, you know, you add some other things to it, it dilutes it. And then it doesn't become as the flavor kind of goes away. And so I think it's the same thing with this. As Facebook now launches their own crypto, as Chase, JP Morgan does it, it's just going to dilute the waters. And, you know, forgive me, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but part of me feels like that's it with intent, right? Because all of these companies, they, especially the banks, MasterCard and all of them, if the dollar becomes less of a preferred method of payment, you got to ask yourself, what does that do to those organizations, those companies? And yeah. So that's the other thing too. But just my two cents.
So as far as like our following and our followers, the people listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. is there any specific advice that you, I mean, other than budgeting, because we know that that's, hey, y'all, stop the bleeding. But as far as like younger, is there any specific advice you give to some of your younger clients versus some of your older clients or anybody in between in the middle? Like, is there anything you would specifically say, like for somebody coming fresh out of college or for somebody that's, you know, 10 years deep in their career already?
Yeah, definitely. Because for me, I look at it as when you're coming out of college, there are probably between your 25th birthday and your 40th birthday, there are probably going to be 7 to 10 major financial decisions that you're going to have to make. You know, you have your first job, you got, you know, moving out of your parents' house, maybe you get married, maybe you have kids, you might leave a job and start a new job. So there are a lot of different financial events that happen when you're a younger client. And so I try to help younger clients focus on the basics. So it starts with the budget. It starts with protection strategies, so talking about insurance and making sure you have the right levels of insurance. And then it also involves taking full advantage of the benefits through work and then also investing and starting to build that nest egg. When someone becomes a little bit more mature, maybe they're in their mid-30s, late-30s, you know, early 40s, it's talking to them about, well, now you have to juggle two worlds. You may have kids that you're trying to take care of, but you might also have aging parents that you have to also consider and think about, well, are there going to be some financial constraints that are going to be heaped on me because of aging parents? So you have individuals that are in that boat that, you know, they call it the sandwich generation because mm-hmm. they're kind of sandwiched between their younger kids and their older parents. Mm-hmm. And then as people become more mature and they're getting into their retirement years, I really start to focus on helping them to preserve the principal of their investments. Because let's face it, like you save all that money, right? And then only to get to retirement and have 2008 happen to you. I mean, dude, that's
the hurt.
That's the hurt right there. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that had to delay retirement because of 2008. And it's because maybe, it depends on the person, but maybe they didn't prepare to like, all right, let me find out how I can preserve some of this money that I saved. Let me figure out how to reposition stuff so that it's not so aggressively invested and it's not, you know, in a situation where it's gonna just fall. And so those are kind of all the things that that I'm trying to help people at different stages. And so I do give advice. I mean, the advice is still in those three areas of budgeting, protection strategies, and wealth building, but it's just, I think I focus on different aspects of it depending on where they are, if that makes sense.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that's really cool to me that you can like vary it up depending upon the people's ages. Cause I know that's one thing that I see a lot online as well as like even with people that we talk to on the podcast. It's like there's different challenges at each stage, no matter what your age is. Like when you're younger, you're gonna have those challenges, like what you were saying, those financial decisions. And then once you get older, you still got those other challenges. It's like, okay, kids and the mortgage and stuff like that. And then when you're getting older, it's like, okay, you got older parents to worry about. You got, you know, older family that you're trying to help provide for and you're trying to help make sure they're good and stuff too. So That's really cool.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to the importance of having a financial advisor, honestly, because a lot of people don't think about that different stages of life and just having that extra help from somebody who does this professionally to really, like, help you excel whenever you come across these decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, and a big thing that I do find, too, is with a lot of these, a lot of folks who are transitioning into retirement, the big thing is that people are living longer, and so their money's got to last much longer. I mean, it used to be, like, a financial advisor's job was easier when people weren't living as long, because it's like, I just need the money to last for, like, 10 years. So now you need it to last, like, 20 years, 25 years. Like, people living longer in retirement. So, and then if you're living longer, it's also health challenges that come up too. You know, is somebody going to have some type of major illness that, you know, because people can live with dementia, right? You can live with dementia. So the person can live still well into their 90s with dementia, but there's also the cost of the care that's associated with it. So it's like, you know, and that's just one example. There's a lot of other examples. So yeah, to your point, it's good to have a financial advisor that will look at all of those things and bring up all of it, because, you know, sometimes there's just things in our blind spot, like we just don't even think about it, man. Like, I know, even for me personally, it's like I don't think about it. It's just, and then it comes up on you and you're like, wow, I didn't even realize that this could actually be a thing for me. So yeah,
and I think that's like, I think that speaks to the importance of, like, especially with what you're doing in our community, because I know it's been a while back, but I saw somebody, it was either on Twitter or on Instagram, they said something to the effect of, basically, you have Black people who are coming out of college, getting good jobs, you know, going into adulthood, and they're having, you know, they went through their life, they didn't invest a whole lot, but they have, you know, somewhat disposable income, but they're having to take care of their parents. Whereas on the flip side of it, you have a lot more, like, other races that their older parents or grandparents are actually taking care of them, or they're giving them money to go start businesses, different things. So it's like, by not having, you know, that correct financial advice from the beginning, so that you can set up that nest egg and set up all that for when you get older, you're actually disadvantaging your later generations.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the thing about what I do, I tell some of my friends that what I do has a generational impact. It's not just something that I'm helping people right now. Like, it's going to help down the line when you get older and you have kids and your kids have kids. What I'm doing and helping you to do and set up, it has generational impact. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where and that's why, you know, a lot of people get upset with some of the politicians that are out there. But there was a politician that once said that the cycle of poverty, the reason why there's a cycle of poverty is because nobody breaks the cycle and says, I'm going to make sure I have a nest egg so that the next generation coming up behind me doesn't have to bleed their own assets to try to take care of me, you know? Exactly. And then that's how everybody kind of just, that's how we're able to catch up. And that wealth gap will never get closed if we don't change the mindset and say, all right, I need to work with somebody. You know, Warren Buffett works with a financial advisor. He probably has several. You know, anybody that is anybody that has wealth is working with somebody. And that's how they continue to have generational wealth, is because they get the right advice and they take action on that advice. And that's how they're able to get to where they're at.
I love it, brother. That's dope, man.
That makes a lot of sense too. Like, a lot of people, bro, you can't, if you don't have the financial know-how and the financial literacy to be able to do it yourself, and even if you do, it still always helps to have help, to employ somebody that this is what he does. You know, this is what he teaches people on a daily basis. That's always going to be more of an advantage.
Hey everyone, it's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
Goes back to that importance of teamwork. Like, you can't do it all by yourself. You have to be a part of a team, because teamwork makes a dream work. Like, at the end of the day, you got one brain. You can only do so much as one person. Yeah. You You just got to have a team.
Yep. Absolutely right. And I always encourage people not only to have me, but an accountant, a lawyer, you know, so all of that.
You're not the first person that I've heard actually mention that concept too, like that kind of that financial team to have around you. So what would that consist of for somebody, like, you know, an accountant, or, you know, like how do you suggest people go about that?
Yeah. So I call it the big three, you know, you want to have a financial advisor, an accountant, and then you want to have an attorney. And specifically, you want an attorney that understands family law, family planning, and estate planning.
Mm.
Because those are the things that impact generations. You know, if you have the financial advisor, they're going to implement strategies based on the recommendations that come from your tax accountant. Because your accountant's going to say, hey, you're paying too much in taxes. You got to find investments that are going to help you save from a tax perspective. So then you go to the advisor. Hey, my accountant is saying I'm paying too much in taxes. I need some investments to help me shield money or to move money in a non-tax position. No problem. I got you. Then it's like, if you're building up the wealth, you have to be able to protect that wealth for future generations. So the attorney will help you set up a trust or help you to set up, you know, your will and do the estate planning that allows you to transfer this wealth for generations. A lot of people don't even realize, and here's like just a quick tidbit, you know, if you have multiple properties, leveraging a trust to be able to have those properties in so that you can create a real estate trust. The Walton family, that's what they did. All of their property is in trusts. So future generations will never sell the property, but the trust will keep generating income for their grandkids, their great grandkids, and so on and so forth. And that's how that generational wealth happens. But the attorney had to help them draw up that trust. And so that's why I always call it, that's the big three. You want that financial advisor, that accountant, and that family law attorney. You can start adding other people to the team. Like once you have that big three in place, you can also add, you know, a property casualty insurance agent.
Mm-hmm.
They'll help you, you know, with business insurance and, you know, your car and your home and all of your properties, making sure that they all have the right insurance. So you could add that. And you may even add somebody, an attorney that focuses just on real estate, like helping you to close real estate and do real estate deals. And then, of course, having a realtor. If you're not going to get your own real estate license yourself, having a realtor as part of your team as well, you know, because if you're building your wealth, real estate is going to be part of your portfolio, you know, and it should be at least. So, yeah.
I think that's cool. You definitely made me a believer. I never knew about the importance, I guess, as far as, cause I never really, me personally, I didn't know exactly what a financial advisor did. I thought it was kind of more like a consultant, you know,
yeah.
But from everything that you explained to me today, I'm definitely a believer, cause you need that team. Just from the way that you just explained that, that made so much sense. It's like, you have one person that you're actually working, you know, you as the individual, you're working, you know, you got other things on your mind, you got kids and all this other stuff, and it's like you have these other three people who are invested in the best interest of you, you know, at least that big three invested in the best interest of you, and they're trying to help you make sure you put your money in the right places, making sure that your next generations are good and stuff like that. Like, I think we need more financial advisors. Hey folks, I'm calling out for it, everybody. Y'all go check it out, you know, because we need those conversations at you know, at the Thanksgiving table and at the Christmas table, talking about, you know, trust. How can we set that up? What do we need to do to get that done, you know, so that our next generations are taken care of? That's really cool.
Right. Instead of passing money down, I mean, instead of passing money up, we're going to start passing this money down. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
You had something to say, Kelly?
No, I was just saying that, like, I know about trust, but I don't know how to set one up. So yeah. I think a financial advisor and plus having an accountant and an attorney would be huge for me, you know, this person. Yeah.
I love it, man. We got like two more questions before we wrap up, about to come to time. Our last question will be like, so how can someone get started with finding a financial advisor? If they can't get to you directly, how can they, say, find them a financial advisor and someone that they can actually like trust? Because, you know, you're going to see ads, people doing this or whatever. So what are some things to look for to say, okay, this is the right type of financial advisor I want?
Because you need one.
That's right. You do need one. And I always say the first thing is you want to get a referral from somebody who is already working with one. Okay. That's usually the first place to start. So if you know, ask around in your circle. If nobody in your circle is working with one, then you can go to what is called FINRA, finra.org. So that's F as in Frank, INRA.com. Or .org actually, and you can say find a financial advisor and put in your zip code, and it'll tell you the financial advisors that are in the area. And then if that's still difficult, I mean you can always try Google. Google is still a good tool. You can look up financial advisors in my area, and usually a couple of different companies will come up, names will come up. I would just say ask within your circle first, see if there's people working with somebody. And then if that's not the case, you can use, like I said, finra.org or use Google to just search. Because I'm sure there are financial advisors within a short radius of you. And then the final thing I'll say about that is I do tell folks that I'm multi-state licensed. So I do tell folks if they do want to work with me and they can't find someone in their immediate area, then hit me up.
Y'all better hit up Wes, man.
I got to hit my boy up. He going to get y'all laced up for real.
Get you right.
Especially with all these gems he done dropped on y'all today.
Okay, my man. So now we're going to come to our favorite part of the podcast. This is called What's on Your Timeline, man. So basically, we just want to talk about, something that you saw on your timeline feed. It don't matter if it was on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Something that was impactful. Something that you feel like others should know what's going on in the world, your community.
So you just want to speak on, my brother.
Hey, man. So I'm a big social media person. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. I was on my Twitter feed this week, and I saw a good friend of mine post up an article from CNN Business, and it said that BlackRock and Vanguard, these are two of the biggest mutual fund companies in the world, are the largest investors in private prisons. And I thought that it was important for my people to know that there are companies out there who are heavily invested in private prisons. And when you think about the school-to-prison pipeline, when you think about mass incarceration, and you think about the things that impact our community, it's important to know where your dollars are going. And if those organizations are so heavily invested in private prisons, the question is why? Mm-hmm. And then the next question is, what is the philosophy of an organization that has so much of their money invested in that type of industry? And what does that say about how you view my people? And so it opened my eyes because I do have on my platform, I do have those two organizations on my platform. And so the question is whether or not I want to remove it from my platform, until such a time as they divest from private prisons. And so it was just eye opening for me. Because you want to make sure that you know where your dollars are going and what is it supporting. And so now I'm looking at other options, for clients that are in them. I've been finding some other options that are better suited for my community. So, yeah, that was what I saw on my timeline this week.
That's big, man.
I'm glad you mentioned that, too, with just those companies, because if you haven't watched it, I'm pretty sure almost everybody has Netflix or access to it somewhere or not or another. I encourage everyone to watch the 13th documentary by Ana Dunavery. I can't never say her last name.
Yeah.
Right. Either way.
DuVernay. Yeah.
DuVernay.
Yeah.
Great documentary on the whole mass incarceration, school to prison pipeline, and the private prison system. And to really help you understand the not even just the dilemma, just I can't even find a word for it at the time, but just the whole scope of the problem with this and the reason you don't want your dollars going there, because in America, Black people make up 13% of the population. We make up 25% of the prison population. And we have like the most incarcerated people in the world in this country. So it's something to look into and like really make sure you understand the problems behind that, because we always talking about wealth and building a community, and that's kind of part of the like where it gets to the point where it's like we're not going to sacrifice our community for money.
Yes, that's well said, man. Well said.
And I think it's really cool. If you do find a substitute, Wes, let me know, because I do have a Vanguard account. And that is like huge to me. That's surprising. Yeah, I didn't even know.
Kelly!
I didn't even know. I definitely would like to lose my money if you know a substitute. That's good.
Jared sounds so hurt.
Absolutely, man. Maybe we'll talk offline and I'll point you in the right direction for sure, man. That's. I mean, Vanguard and BlackRock are two of the largest. I mean, I know BlackRock is the largest money manager in the world. So it's not surprising. I mean, a lot of us have stuff in those companies, so self-included. So I'm trying to make sure I move and you know, put my money where my mouth is. If I'm saying that I'm supporting my community, I got to also make some hard decisions and move stuff. So, yeah.
Hey, well, if you can make us any suggestions, definitely let us know about that, because that's a post we need to make. You know, we got to let people know if you got money in what did you say, Vanguard and
BlackRock,
we got to find you some alternatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. Oh, yeah, Wes. So where can the people find you if they do want to, like, get at you for your services, or if they just want to follow you on Instagram or anything like that? Where can they get in contact with you, man?
Yeah, so if you're following me on Instagram or Twitter, it's just at Ifon West. So it's my last name, first name. not very creative, but it's effective. And also on Facebook, if you look up Wes Ifon Financial Advisor, you'll see me on Facebook as well. And of course on LinkedIn, just look me up with my first and last name. But that's how people can find me. You know, all of my information is on all of those platforms. So my cell phone, my office number, my website, everything is on there. So, yeah.
Oh, dope, my brother. Appreciate you for coming through. Appreciate you coming through,
man, giving us this knowledge, putting us on game. Y'all take y'all money out of BlackRock and Vanguard, because they're trying to keep us locked up.
For real, man. Thank
and
you,
y'all. Make sure y'all go get that big three, too. Go get that team started.
Yeah, you know, start working on it. And
stop the bleeding, get a team.
And I don't think he means, like, just, you know, just throw all of them together at one time if you don't have the money. But definitely just start working on putting your team together.
That's right. Most definitely.
We genuinely appreciate you coming on here, man. We definitely gonna have to stay in touch with you. We're gonna DM you, talk to you about some more stuff. Gotta
Absolutely.
Get you linked in with our Black Wolf Renaissance gear and all that stuff, man. Too, man. Yeah.
Definitely, man.
Appreciate you, my brother.
All right.
We're coming through and dropping gems on the Black Wolf Renaissance family.
Yeah, man. Y'all got a little house cleaning items always to address. Y'all tune in. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all for constantly rocking with us, helping us grow. We're just doing it for you guys. We appreciate the reciprocation we get from putting out this information. Man. Y'all go to our website. We got all type of tools and tricks for y'all to learn. We got realtors. Oh, man, we might have to get us a financial advisor directory and that thing.
Man.
Like,
man.
This is some stuff that we got to get
working, we got to get this out, like, to the community. I like that.
So, yeah, y'all tune in, blackwealthrenaissance.com. Y'all follow us on Instagram.
At Black Wealth Renaissance. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at @BWR_movement.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook.
We on YouTube.
Yeah, we on YouTube. Y'all make sure y'all subscribe to the
YouTube. Hey, and also, guys, please give us a rating out on Apple Podcasts. Please give us a rating.
And we trying to help
rating and reviews. We're trying to help it grow. We want to know what y'all like, what y'all don't like. Also, we just set up the Patreon account, so now y'all can become Patreons. What's that link, Kelly?
It is Patreon/BWR. Patreon.com/BWR. And this is for the people that listen that want the extra content. You want the extra behind the scenes of BWR. You want to know some extra information about us. We got that information for you. Please subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, man. I think that's pretty much it. So this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out. Peace.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.